Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hyperthetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hyperthetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hyperthetical, Hyperthetical.
This episode of the Dungeon Cast is brought to you by Crucible Magazine. Crucible Magazine is a Kickstarter launching February 15th. It's a next-generation monthly magazine for 5th edition, filled with adventures, magic items, subclasses, battle maps, and other cool magazine content like interviews, articles, reader's letters section, and even a 4-page color comic. Crucible Magazine will be available every month in print, PDF, and as a module for Foundry Visual Tabletop. When the Kickstarter is live on February 15th, you can get the digital launch issue for free from their Kickstarter page to check out the magazine yourself, which has over 90 pages of content. All you gotta do is go to crucible.mag.com/dungeoncast and you can check it out for yourself. That's crucible.mag.com/dungeoncast. If you want to sponsor the show, you can reach out to us at thedungeoncast@gmail.com. Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, and today we're talking about Sorcerers of the Aberrant Mind.
How are you doing, Brad?
I'm great, Will. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Look at our glorious background, William.
I know. It's looking pretty good.
Thanks, Gabe.
Yeah, we got some new shelving and stuff. Yeah, I'm very happy.
Yeah, it's fun. We threw as much shit out onto our background as we could. So check us out on YouTube if you want to see it.
Yeah,
maybe you've never seen what we look like.
You can.
You can, though. We exist.
We do.
Check us out on TikTok. We're on video. You can see us there, too.
That's true. We are also on there.
Doing a lot of fun stuff there.
All right, Brian. So today we're talking about another subclass. This one belongs to the Sorcerer, and this one is called the Aberrant Mind.
Yes.
As its name would suggest, it is tied to aberrations, which tangentially are tied to often the Far Realm.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of the Far Realm flavored Sorcerer.
Cool.
Which is, you know, it's nice to get that because so far the Far Realm has been tied specifically to Warlocks for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Almost
Great
inherently.
Old
one
Warlock.
Yeah, it's like the only thing. The cliche one right there.
Yeah. Is it really a cliche?
I don't know. Cliche is too strong
a
word.
Becoming a cliche.
I would say that it's like the quintessential, the one most people think of when they think of the Warlock, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. But it's nice to have another class that has built-in flavor that is geared towards the Far Realm. And let's get into it.
Okay.
So, an alien influence has wrapped its tendrils around your mind, giving you psionic power. You can now touch other minds with that power and alter the world around you by using it to control the magical energy of the multiverse. Will this power shine from you as a hopeful beacon to others? Probably not. Or will you be a source of terror to those who feel the stab of your mind and witness the strange manifestations of your mind?
Absolutely.
Yes, almost definitely.
Psychic is neutral at best, as we've covered the show.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. As an aberrant mind sorcerer, you decide how you acquired your powers. Were you born with them? Or did an event later in life leave you shining with psionic awareness? Some examples for origins are given in Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, Far Plane Influence, Psychic Splinter from an Aboleth Encounter, Psionic Energy from the Astral Plane, a Mind Flayer Tadpole embedded into your brain, or maybe you were lucky and as a child you became friends with a Flump.
You had Flump Friend.
Yeah, Flump Friend.
Oh, gross. It's like, do you not scared of the way
Flumps?
I fucking
Flump?
Propel myself?
Flumps are the best friends, Brian. Absolutely the
My
best friend.
My best friend, Flump. That's like a 90s sitcom.
What about being friends with a Flump would give you psychic powers, though?
Breathing that hot gas,
no,
brother.
Oh, no.
Yeah, how else are you going to get it?
You're breathing in the molds.
Yep.
All right, so let's get into some features. The fumes.
Flump fumes. That's an Axe body spray D&D special. It's like Old Spice.
The color of that can would be what, yellow? Yellow and green?
I thought it would be like a purpley, the color of Flump, you know?
Well, Flumps are usually yellow.
Oh, yeah, I always saw them as like
yellow,
purplish.
Yellowish green. No.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A fart can for your fart friend.
Let's get into it. So at level one, you gain access to some psionic spells. You learn additional spells when you reach certain levels in this class, as shown on the psionic spells table. Each of these spells counts as a sorcerer spell for you, but it doesn't count against the number of sorcerer spells you know. Whenever you get a sorcerer level, you replace one of the spells, yada, yada, yada. We've gone over this before.
Yeah, but if this is your first episode, like,
You should check out spellcasting.
Yeah, check out spellcasting. We have a 5-minute video that explains it all.
You do, but like you can switch out your spells if you want to, just not very often.
Exactly. I will say something about this. This class, you see this feature on a lot of classes. This whole like you get specific spells, they don't count against the ones you know.
Yeah.
Yada yada yada. Yeah. I think
it's like almost every caster has that, right? Like a subclass.
Every caster class has at least one subclass that has this. I will say
even wizards,
except for wizards, probably because I can't think of a wizard needing to dip.
Yeah,
but what I'm trying to say is that on no class is, in my opinion, does this feature shine better than on the sorcerer, because the sorcerer's whole thing is that they can cast from a very similar list as the wizard, mm-hmm. and they have way more flexibility in what they can do with those same spells.
Yes,
their drawback is they know way less spells.
Right,
this literally gives the sorcerer, I want to say, like eight extra spells. So by level 20, rather than having 18, you'll have, 24? That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Or 26. Truly. I'm sorry, 26.
So the difference between a wizard and a sorcerer is the way you learn your magic.
Like, yeah, sure, lore-wise. Right, absolutely. Yeah.
And that kind of counts for that, because, like, a sorcerer comes from, like, your inner being or whatever, and, like, You're not a studious, you know, as a wizard would be.
A wizard can know literally countless spells, but like pragmatically, like you probably know up to 30 or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm saying that this closes that gap substantially, and not every sorcerer subclass gets this feature. Mm. A lot of the newer ones do, but almost all the original ones in the first few books, like they don't get this feature. So this is a very powerful feature for a sorcerer specifically.
Cool.
But let's move on. The spells that you get. At first level, you get Arms of Hadar and Dissonant Whispers and Mind Sliver. At third level, you get Calm Emotions and Detect Thoughts. At fifth level, you get Hunger of Hadar and Sending. At seventh level, you get Evard's Black Tentacles and Summon Aberration, which is a fucking awesome spell. Mm-hmm. At ninth level, you get Rari's Telepathic Bond and Telekinesis.
Oh, thanks everybody who like told me who Rari was.
I mean, they didn't. Did they really tell us who they were? They just told us where they.
Rari's from Greyhawk.
That's all
like
I know.
A bajillion comments. It's
now
like
the extent of my knowledge. I don't want to expand anymore. Please no. Also, at level one, you get another feature called Telepathic Speech. You can form a telepathic connection between your mind and the mind of another. As a bonus action, choose one creature you can see within 30 feet of you. You and the chosen creature can speak telepathically with each other while the two of you are within a number of miles of each other.
Nice.
Equal to charisma, your charisma modifier, minimum 1 mile. To understand each other, you each must speak mentally in a language the other knows. Telepathic connection lasts for a number of minutes equal to your sorcerer level. It ends early if you are incapacitated or die, or if you use this ability to form a connection with a different creature.
Okay.
So this has a lot of utility. The number one use that pops into my head is like, oh, you form your telepathic bond with your rogue scout. Mm-hmm. Your rogue scout's going way ahead, and you got a telepathic bond with them.
Scouting rogue
for probably for at least 4 miles if you're a good sorcerer, 3 if you're a mediocre one,
and 2 if you're just ass.
2 if you're not good at your class. But so that's useful in that way. But I do find it interesting that most telepathy transcends language, not this one. This one's very specific. You have to share a language.
That's weird. Why this one?
I don't know why, but they wanted to give it some sort of nerf, so they did.
Maybe you need a bond.
Maybe. So at level 6, you get your next feature called Psionic Sorcery. When you cast any spell of first level or higher from your Psionic Spells feature, you can cast it by expending a spell slot as normal or by spending a number of sorcery points equal to the spell's level. If you cast a spell using sorcery points, it requires no verbal or semantic components, and it requires no material components unless they are consumed by the spell. Now, this is very useful if you keep track of components.
Yes.
Which not everyone does, but I think more people do than not.
I've seen more arguments lately for doing the special rules for magic users, because that's what sort of brings the scale of power down to fighter level.
Yes.
And like kind of closes. Although the spellcaster is inherently more powerful than the fighter at level 20, no matter what you do.
Yeah, but the components are supposed to help mitigate that.
Yeah, and costs for gold and like keeping track of like spells prepared and stuff like that. All that stuff's meant to like put a cap on power level.
Like there's a certain limitation. Yeah. I have seen this done. This is back from my fourth edition days. I've seen it done where components are like this amalgamous thing. And basically you have X amount of components. Mm-hmm. And when you're out of like, it has like some sort of a number on it, if you will.
I have a bag, and I don't know what's in the bag, yeah. but when I pull a component out of it, it's the one I need, and there are only so many in the bag.
Right, you have X gold amount worth of components.
Right, yeah.
And since all the components that are listed in any of the spellcasting books, I think they all have their monetary value shown. I'm pretty sure that's true.
Everything you can
each
buy.
Each spell costs you X amount of money, basically.
Yeah.
And rather than have very specific components, which are very tedious to keep track of, I've seen people just have this over-encompassing thing called components.
Yeah, like Blades in the Dark is a game powered by the Apocalypse game where you can have a flashback. And it takes stress. You can have 12 stress. It takes like 2 stress to activate a flashback, or maybe it's 1. Mm-hmm. But basically, you can have a flashback to have an item you need in this time of need because you're supposed to be like a bandit or whatever.
Right.
It's like, I'm always prepared. It's like, oh, I have the perfect, like, I'm going to throw a potion on the ground. It's going to make a gas cloud so I can like poison some people and escape.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know I needed it until this moment. And now I have a flashback to show myself preparing it.
Right. Okay.
And it did cost me something. It cost me, like, just like you're saying with the component in the bag, in the empty, the bag full of whatever you need.
Mm-hmm. Of the magic
and then
juice.
Also this other thing called stress. And in that game, when you cap on stress, you face trauma. So your character goes through something
dungeon. Interesting. You get another feature at level 6 called Psychic Defenses. You gain resistance to psychic damage, which is fantastic, and you have advantage on saving throws against being charmed or frightened, which is good if you're not an elf who already has that.
Exactly.
But the frightened part, the elf doesn't have that. Halfling has that. Then at level 14, you get a very well-named feature called Revelation in Flesh.
Ooh.
You can unleash
That's nasty.
You can unleash the aberrant truth hidden within yourself. As a bonus action,
gross.
You can spend 1 or more sorcerer points to magically transform your body for 10 minutes. This is a very interesting feature.
You can summon the town guard to try to arrest you for indecent exposure at level 14.
For each sorcery point you spend, you can gain one of the following benefits. Of your choice, the effects of which last until the transformation ends. You can see any... These are the things that you can gain. Number one, you can see any invisible creature within 60 feet of you, provided it isn't behind total cover. Your eyes also turn black or become writhing sensory tendrils.
Ooh, cool.
Number two, you gain a flying speed equal to your walking speed, and you can hover. As you fly, your skin glistens with mucus or shines with an otherworldly light.
Aw, man.
Number three, you gain a swimming speed equal to twice your walking speed, and you can breathe underwater. Moreover, gills grow from your neck or fan out from behind your ears. Your fingers become webbed, and you grow writhing cilia that extend through your clothing.
The cilia, they're like little long things with
tendrils with that kind of ball a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just went to the aquarium not too long ago. I saw
a lot of cilia. Huh?
So you can water world this shit?
Yes, you get super water worlded out.
Plus cilia.
Yeah. Number four, your body, along with any equipment you're wearing or carrying, becomes slimy and pliable. You can move through any space as narrow as 1 inch without squeezing, and you can spend 5 feet of movement to escape from non-magical restraints or being grappled.
That's dope. Yeah, that is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Guiji.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So good.
Obviously, Luigi is an aberrant mind sorcerer.
Luigi is definitely.
Like, absolutely. Undoubtedly.
He's got the best vacuum.
Yeah, that too. Warping Implosion is the final feature you get at level 18, which is really up there. It's hard to get to level 18. If for anyone who does, congratulations.
Yeah, good job. And started at level, 1 or 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I'll even take 3.
Yeah. I'll take 5. If you make it 18, I'll take 5.
Yeah.
You start at 5, make it 18, good for you.
And let us know if you did it with experience or milestone leveling, because that definitely matters.
True that. So what was the feature called again? It was called Warping Implosion. You can unleash your aberrant power as a space warping anomaly. As an action, you can teleport to an unoccupied space you can see within 120 feet of you. Immediately after, you disappear. Each creature within 30 feet of the space that you left.
30?
Yeah. Must make a strength saving throw, which most people are bad at that, against your spell save DC. On a failed save, a creature takes 3d10 force damage and is pulled straight towards the space you left, ending in an unoccupied space as close to your former space as possible. On a successful save, the creature takes half the damage and isn't pulled.
That's powerful. I have a spell on my wizard called Thunderstep. It's basically the identical thing, although I think the range might be different of the area of effect for damage.
It's much smaller, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was like 10 or 15.
Yeah, I want to say it's like 10 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can also take a person with me.
Yeah, which is nice. It was very nice. Once you use this feature, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest or unless you spend 5 sorcery points to use it again.
At level 18, is that a lot?
I think 5 is a lot no matter what, but I'm going to look it up right now.
Because most of your sorcery points, you can spend like 1 to 3 on your metamagic stuff, I think. Mm. I got to pull up my character anyway, but there's lots of cool ways to, you know, the feats let you metamagic even harder.
Yeah, so at level 20, you have 20 points. So even at max level, it's a quarter of everything you got. But still, being able to pop that up 4 times is pretty brutal.
Usable. Well, I mean, probably maybe twice if you think about
it. Oh, yeah, if you're using it in other ways. I'm just saying, as a max, you can throw this gravity bomb times. Like 4 times.
And just like be a menace like all over the fucking battlefield.
Yeah.
Well, it's a spell. It's as powerful as a third level spell.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Like, is it worth your 5 points? Probably fuck yeah, I would say, depending on the scenario. Like, surround yourself with enemies. It's a great combination with Armor of Agathys if you can get that spell as an aberrant. I'm not sure if you can or not. Like,
I don't think you can.
Yeah, it's more warlocky, huh?
Yeah.
But stuff like that, like maybe you can mage armor to tank more attacks or like do something that takes more attacks,
you're pulling them into a place you were. You're no longer there.
Yeah. Well, how I like to use the Thunderstep spell is to draw aggro, have enemies surround me, and then teleport out. So now all my enemies are clustered in one spot. I'm free and away to fire range shit, and then we can surround them or whatever.
That's awesome. I like that.
I've done it in our game.
Yeah, I'm sure you have, but usually combat's such a blur to me.
Yeah,
It really is, but it's fun to listen back to on Super Quest Saga, which is a show you guys should go check out. It's on YouTube. It's also its own podcast. Look it up, Super Quest Saga.
It's coming to a close.
It is. We're getting close to the end here.
Because we're finishing our first campaign ever. It's very great. Yeah.
And there's lots of like aberrant, far realm Lovecraftian shit. Yeah. So, yeah.
I do a whole character for a while that's like nothing but that.
Yeah, spoilers. Spoilers.
This is not a spoiler. It's the first fucking...
You said for a while.
Yeah.
Let's take a short rest.
Okay.
Hey, folks. I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/dungeoncast.
Rise of Vecna is an exciting new D&D adventure inspired by the Dungeon Cast episode on Vecna. Rise of Vecna takes place in a version of the Forgotten Realms where evil prevails. Tiamat has been successfully summoned. The demon lords still roam the Underdark, and Baldur's Gate has been dragged into Avernus. Moreover, each of these disasters has been purposefully orchestrated or exploited by the Archlich Vecna.
This adventure will take your players from levels 3 to 10. Along the way, they will encounter legends such as the crime lord Xanathar and the increasingly mountainous Chief Guh. You can find Rise of Vecna exclusively on DMsGuild.com.
Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick while you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/dungeoncast and use your promotional code DUNGEONCAST and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/dungeoncast.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? You or someone you love falling into depression or struggling with anxiety can keep you from what you care about. Struggling with mental health is something a lot of us deal with, including myself. But luckily, there's something we can do. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You'll be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. This service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if you need to. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/dungeon. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Right now, listeners of the Dungeon Cast can get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/dungeon.
We've returned.
Do we have?
If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thedungeoncast, where you can support us.
Indeed you can.
Just started shishing.
Yeah, you started tapping into your inner what there.
You gotta lean in.
We built some characters, Brian.
Yeah, we did.
Both aberrant sorcerers. I'm gonna start today's.
And okay.
And I built a Githzerai sorcerer. Her name is Lazera Zay. She's a bad guy. She's a villain. She's more like an NPC, which I seem to do a lot. I've noticed I build like probably 50 to 60% villains on this show.
Maybe it's because like you are our forever DM.
I'm a forever DM, and it just I can't help but just have build forever villains. NPCs.
Yeah,
So she grew up probably amongst the Githzerai in, I believe it's Limbo. Raised as a warrior, and I think she set off on a warpath. Warpath is a bit of a strong word, a crusade, if you will, to fight the Mind Flayers, who have terrorized her people in the past. So she got caught up in the Underdark, and she ended up getting caught up with some Beholder bullshit.
Was she farting?
No farting. She knew better.
She knows not to fart.
You don't fart in the dark.
Okay.
But she got caught up with some Beholder bullshit while doing her Mind Flayer hunting. And she ended up becoming, enslaved and indoctrinated and all that other stuff. And
Dang.
They slowly warped her mind to the point of her becoming a believer in the Great Mother.
Oh.
So she is a deep, zealous follower of the Great Mother, so much so that she's become an ocular adept. Do you remember what we talked about, the ocular adepts?
Yeah.
They're like beholder worshippers, specifically of the Great Mother. Well,
I remember the cult.
Their main thing is they get psionic powers, amongst other things, through a horrifying surgery in which a beholder incises a section of their skull out of them and inserts the eyeball from a gazer.
Right. Okay.
And the thing is, the gazer's eye retains some of the gazer's personality,
mm-hmm.
and the ocular adept can then hear the voice of their gazer and basically kind of has to fight a little bit for control.
Oh,
with the gazer until they eventually become one person.
So they're being influenced.
So her name has always been Lazera. The name of the gazer who was surgically implanted into her head name was Zay. So now she is a combined being called Lazera Zay.
Okay, cool. That's dope.
And this is the moment that turned her into an aberrant mind sorcerer.
So this is
the source of her power. She's actually, like, stat wise and whatnot, she's pretty straightforward. Excuse me. You know, 18 charisma, 14 constitution, 16 dex. Everything else is like 8 or 10.
Gotta pump that charisma. That's your spellcasting modifier for your spells.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. She's trained in deception, insight, persuasion, and of course, religion.
Okay.
I want to say she's an acolyte for her background. I'm not sure where to look there.
Because you're picking up this NPC after all of this, right?
Yeah, so, after all this. So she has to be, you know, she's level 8. Now. Yeah, she.
What was she before? What class would she? What would you expect this character at before she was corrupted?
Before like these decades of bullshit, she was probably a low level monk.
Okay, dope.
But let me see. For spells, you know, it's all just basic sonic bullshit. You know, Mind Sliver, Minor Illusion, Arms of Hadar, Detect Thoughts, Dissonant Whispers, Phantasmal Force, Sleep, Suggestion, Calm Emotions, Hypnotic Pattern, Hunger of Hadar, Major Image, just all the psychic and illusion bullshit.
Some staple stuff, yeah.
Some staple stuff for sure. For a feat, I had her dip a little bit into like Warlock by the feat is called Eldritch Adept. So she gains an Eldritch invocation of her choice.
I almost took that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, just, I was like... The flavor's just perfect, so, you know.
Yeah, I was like, subconsciously, before you told me, like, about the cliche of it, mm-hmm. like, I was like, I kind of don't want to be warlocky.
Right,
scenario,
fair enough.
Because I, like, maybe want to do something different, but...
So the fact that she's, like, religiously a follower of the Great Mother, I was like, why didn't she... Maybe she gets a little bit of sprinkle of the warlock juice.
That's
so
cool.
She took the Eldritch Mind invocation, which gives her advantage on constitution and saving throws that she makes to maintain her concentration. So it's very, very pragmatic.
Handy, for sure.
Racial traits. So as a Gith, she gets mental discipline. She has advantage on save throws against being charmed in frightened conditions.
Mm-hmm.
She also gets... Her mage hand cantrip is invisible. She can cast it and it's invisible.
Yeah, that's cool.
What else here does she have that sets her apart? Oh, she's got some inventory here. So I gave her an Eldritch staff, and thematically, you know, she's all up in beholder business. She has a robe of eyes.
Okay.
So the robe of eyes does some cool shit. This robe is adorned with eye-like patterns. While you wear the robe, you gain the following benefits. The robe lets you see in all directions, and you have advantage on wisdom perception checks that rely on sight. You have dark vision out to a range of 120 feet, and you can see invisible creatures and objects as well as see into the ethereal plane out to a range of 120 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. The eyes of the robe can't be closed or averted, although you can close or avert your own eyes. You are never considered to be doing so while wearing this robe. A light spell cast on the robe or a daylight spell cast within 5 feet of the robe causes you to be blinded for one minute.
Uh-oh, that's dope. That is such a cool feature.
Indeed. At the end of each of your turns, you can make a constitution saving throw for 11 for light, 15 for daylight to end the blindness on a success.
Okay.
And then she has Eldritch Staff, which...
Can you imagine your homies like, let me make it a little easier for everybody, and they light up your robe.
Why would you do that? So Eldritch Staff. So the staff can be wielded as a magic quarterstaff that grants a +1 bonus to attack and damage rolls. Staff has 10 charges and regains 1d6 +4 expended charges daily at dawn. You can use the charges to do these two things. Number one, Eldritch Attack. When you hit with a melee attack using the staff, you can expend up to 3 of its charges. For each charge you expend, the target takes an extra 1d8 lightning damage.
Nice.
And then Eldritch Escape. If you take damage while holding the staff, you can use your reaction to expend 3 of the staff's charges, whereupon you turn invisible and teleport yourself along with any equipment you are wearing or carrying up to 60 feet to an unoccupied space that you can see. You remain invisible until the start of your next turn or until you attack, cast a spell, or deal damage.
That's really cool robe, man.
Yeah, yeah. she's
really cool staff, yeah. Really cool robe.
She's gonna be a nightmare to fight for whatever party I throw her against.
Yeah, like visually and physically.
Yeah, absolutely. So eyeballs for days, and she's just gonna be so hard to pin down and kill.
You can do like some Donzo shit where you like wrap your robe so you can like close some of the eyes on the arms or whatever.
Sure, yeah,
like
absolutely.
Cover them like. Oh, dude, your robe has, like, patches all over it, like little flaps.
Oh, for the eyes so they can blink.
Make it so you, like, pull a string and they all open. Like, everyone freaks out.
That's horrible. So that's Lazara Zay. Do you have any questions before we talk about your character?
That's fun. That's a fun one, man.
I was into it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I see you have 13 AC. You've got 50 HP. It's not bad. Yeah. What level did you build?
Level 8.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Dang. I'm stronger.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
I'm stronger than you.
So tell us about your character, Brian.
I actually built. Is level 8 what we normally do? I feel like I always go 10, but today I built 8. Maybe 8.
I feel like 8 is money. I think 8 is what. Maybe it was 10. I don't know.
I was like building 8. 10. I think you were building lower for a while. I was like, oh, maybe I should go lower. I ended up going 8. I am Farrowhan.
Tell us about Farrowhan.
Farrowhan is a Harangon.
Oh, we're back in the Harangon verse.
Welcome to the Harangon verse. It's back.
It's back.
We got Spider-Man. We got Spider-Man. We got Yu-Gi-Oh. We got who else crossed over? Hangs out with each other.
Did Spider-Man and Yu-Gi-Oh cross over? No, that can't be a thing.
Yu-Gi-Oh did what Spider-Verse, what No Way Home did before No Way Home did it.
Well, No Way Home is a copy of the Spider-Verse, which is a while back.
I don't know, man. Maybe Yu-Gi-Oh is a copier.
Well,
the first three Yu-Gi-Oh protagonists all hung out for a while.
Oh, that's cool. So the Spider-Verse comic book, I think, came out, I want to say, in like 2015? 2014?
I don't know. When did that Yu-Gi-Oh movie come out? Probably before that, honestly.
Really?
I was playing in like 2010.
Okay, well then maybe. Okay, Yu-Gi-Oh wins. Either way, this is the Harangonverse. Tell us about it.
Yeah, welcome to the Harangonverse. Now I'm doing it. Okay, so Farrowhan the Harangon lost all their hair because they saw some bullshit and became an aberrant sorcerer.
A bear hair. A hair bear?
Farrowhan the hairless, whose hair is gone.
Okay, gotcha. Love it.
Farrowhan whose hair is gone.
Is a Harangon.
Is a Harangon.
Oh, boy.
So we got 0 strength.
Okay.
I took average 10.
Yeah.
+1 dex, +3 con. I wanted to con this thing out. I wanted to have the highest HP sorcerer
ever. Some constitution for sure.
+1 intelligence, -1 to wisdom, and +3 cha.
Okay.
So we got
a little more well rounded than mine, kind of.
Yeah. I picked the small size Harangon.
Okay.
So it's a small Harangon whose hair is gone.
Okay.
So it's just, they just got like, they, you know, like a Siamese cat. That's not the name of those cats.
It's not. Not at all. I just call them hairless cats, but yeah, it's a hyperallergenic bald ones.
Yeah, those.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like a naked mole rat, basically.
Yeah, it's a naked mole rat, but it is a Harangon.
Yeah.
The feats are really fun. Okay, let me get into the spells. I feel like, you know, probably more standard, like how we're talking about with yours.
Okay, you didn't do anything special with the spells. It's all psychic bullshit.
Not really. I mostly was focusing on the build, like, in terms of the meta magic, which I think is always fun to do for sorcerers. I think for my C4PO, I did. Yeah, I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I did, because I remember I chose very specifically.
C4PO is the last sorcerer. I did a clockwork sorcerer for him, and I maxed out, like, how many meta magic things I could do with feats. I had like 5 options out of like the, what is it, 8?
Yeah, something like that.
I had all the good ones. Basically.
It looks like I chose heightened spell and extended spell. So heightened spell, when you cast a spell that forces a creature to make a save there, you can spend 3 sorcery points to give 1 target of the spell disadvantage. Makes sense. I do a lot of like, I need to fuck with your mind. Please, you can't save. If you save, it doesn't fuck with your mind.
Give you disadvantage on the save.
Yeah. And then extended spell, when you cast a spell that has a duration of 1 minute or longer, you can spend a sorcery point, double its duration, to a maximum of duration of 24 hours. Again, I do stuff that fucks with you. I need it to keep fucking with you.
Totally.
But I'm not really doing like area of effect.
So I get my rabbit hop.
Yeah, go for it.
As a bonus action. I can jump 15 feet without provoking opportunity attacks, right? As a Harangon.
Like, you're psychic and you got hops.
I can use it 3 times at level 8.
Okay, recharges. You jump real high while being psychic.
Or real far
while also being
like
psychic.
Jump to the side or whatever. The only rules for this, I think, is you have to have some movement. You can't be prone or have 0 movement for whatever reason.
Oh, to do your jump. Okay. How does he use the jump? Is it a he?
Yeah.
How does he use the jump while being a sorcerer? But just to get away?
Probably.
Okay.
Kind of like how, like, spellcasters use
teleportation,
like Misty Step.
Yeah. Okay.
That's kind of, or like to get height to fucking fuck someone up.
You need
but this does
view.
Not say I don't take fall damage.
Interesting.
So if I jump 15 feet in the air, am I going to take a D6 when I come down?
Are there rules for the fact that it's a jump, right?
I didn't see anything in the regular statistics about
it. I don't
know. Right? Like, yeah. If I jump, I could, like, as a human, I don't take damage when I fall, when I jump, typically.
Typically.
I could.
Yeah, you
but,
could.
Like, I also can't jump 10 feet, and I don't know what, I've never.
I feel like if you can jump, if it's the distance that you have been able to push yourself, you should be able to recover from the fall, no problem.
I feel like that's how it should work, but I don't know. Like, without any indication, I should be taking fall damage from this. Maybe there are. I don't know. Why are the jumping rules so hard in this game? I can never remember them. I'll pull them up later. So I can also, get lucky footwork. When you fail a dex saving throw, you can use your reaction to roll a d4 and add it even after you fail, potentially save it.
Okay.
So that's the Herringon stuff. We'll cover that.
Tell me about these feats. Not your rabbit feet.
So I took the, let me go to the feats page because they were there, but I want to get them. I want to get them right. Okay, I got the telepathic speech, meta magic. Where you at, feats? Rachel traits, feats. So I took the crusher feat.
Unexpected. Why?
It has to do with an item in my inventory.
Okay.
But the crusher feat says once per turn, when you hit a creature with an attack that deals bludgeoning damage, you can now move it 5 feet to an unoccupied space, provided the target is no more than one size larger than you, which is going to be medium creatures only.
Okay.
Right. I was like, okay.
I mean, medium is a very common size. So
when you score a critical hit that deals bludgeoning damage to a creature, attack rolls against that creature are made with advantage until the start of your next turn. So you could potentially, like, kind of hit somebody as a target if you're ganging up on somebody.
Sure. But you're a sorcerer, so why?
Yeah, it's just because I thought it'd be fun.
Okay. Well, what's the item?
But I'll get to that. Okay. So I also took metamagic adept, which is one of my favorite things to take as a sorcerer. I couldn't resist.
You just get more metamagic.
You get more metamagic. Yeah. So I took a transmuted spell. When you cast the spell that deals damage of the following list, you can spend one sorcery point to change that damage type to one other listed. So acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, or thunder. I can interchange whatever I want in between those.
That's pretty cool.
Which is it's fairly powerful.
Yeah,
I do it in Super Quest Saga.
Yeah, you do.
Distance spell, when you cast a spell that has a range of 5 feet or greater, you can spend one sorcery point to double the range of the spell, or make the range 30 feet for a spell with a range of touch.
Oh, nice.
Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
So yeah, that's pretty much what I got. Instead of ability scores on this show, we take feats to just kind of cover.
Not all the time, but yeah.
Not all the time, but most of the time I feel like we do.
I like to take at least one.
Okay, let me go to my inventory here.
All right, tell me about this weapon.
So I have Elven Chain on.
Okay.
Which is fun. You know, they didn't have to use a lot of it. But I took the Tentacle Chain Rod. As my armor. So my AC is 15.
Oh, I'm like, okay, you have chains. They're specifically elven made.
That'd be cool.
How does this play?
Some
weapon it's elven chain mail.
Like
gotcha.
Some whips made
Wait,
of
you
chains.
Can wear it? Can you wear it?
It said I was proficient with it. Like, I let D&D Beyond tell me what
okay.
I could select.
I'm not
going
to question it for now.
Yeah, for now, let me know if I can wear it. It's medium armor, huh? Like,
do you have it equipped?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It let me do it.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, what else you got? I'm looking up Elven Chain because I'm disputing this, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like to know if I did something bad.
No, it's all good. I'll
okay,
let you know.
So I have the Tentacle Rod, which was given to me.
I thought about this, but it was way too melee oriented, so I didn't do it, but you did. You took
Crusher.
Right,
the Crusher Feet.
Yeah,
okay. I was like, okay, let me find a. I took the Crusher Feet first because I thought it would be really fun for a smaller rabbit to fuck someone up like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and found the item after the fact.
Okay. So, yes, the Elven Chain, sorry. You are considered proficient with this armor, even if you lack proficiency with medium armor. So anyone can wear this.
It was the only armor, because I clicked proficiency.
It's Frodo's armor. That's what it is. Look at it. It's Frodo's armor.
It's Frodo's armor.
Mithril. Sorry, go ahead.
Mithril.
Tell me about your tentacle rod.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, don't.
No, actually. I'm going to.
Oh, no.
It was made by the drow.
no.
This rod is a magic weapon that ends in three rubbery tentacles. While holding the rod, you can use an action. Let me zoom in here so I can see this shit. Oh, and it vanished. Cool.
Hold on. I'll just. What's it? Is this called the tentacle rod?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to bring my computer closer to me.
That's hilarious.
While holding the rod, you can use an action to direct each tentacle to attack a creature you can see within 15 feet of you. Each tentacle makes a melee attack roll.
How many tentacles are there?
Three,
okay.
Each tentacle makes a melee attack roll with a +9 bonus.
Uh-huh.
On a hit, the tentacle deals 1d6 bludgeoning damage, which will trigger my feet.
So you don't need the strength. It has its own attack bonus.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
If I hit a target with all three tentacles, it must make a DC 15 Constitution saving throw. On a failure, the creature's speed is halved. And I did think about taking the one that gives them disadvantage, but I didn't know, I wasn't so focused on the spells. And I didn't know about this before I started building it.
Right.
But I did think about it beforehand. It was one on consideration.
Yeah.
On a failure, the creature's speed is halved. It has disadvantage on dexterity saving throws, and it can't use reactions for 1 minute. Moreover, on each of its turns, it can take either an action or a bonus action, but not both. At the end of each of its turns, it can repeat the saving throw, ending the effect on itself on a success.
Okay, so you're built entirely around this rod that you found.
You know what? I built everything and equipped the rod last.
Yeah, but...
So, I guess.
Well, why'd you pick the feet? You picked the feet after the rod.
I picked the feet because it's hilarious.
Yeah. No. Oh, you picked it before you had the rod?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was like, I'll find a weapon that can beat someone down.
Well, you did.
And
you
then it just happens to be a super good one.
And very flavorfully in the right direction.
Yeah, and, I'm building a level 8 character on the spot with no in-game background. Mm-hmm. So this is more like... Maybe that's why we lean toward NPC creation. Instead of PC creation in a lot of our builds.
I think it's because I'm a DM. I think that's why I do it. But
I always approach it like, I don't know what table I'm sitting at. So let me just make some dumb bullshit. Okay. All right.
How did Faraway get his aberrant mind? Any ideas?
So
he got the rod from the drow.
So let me go to my background. Where's my background?
Okay. Great question. I think it is under feats and traits.
Feats and traits.
It should probably be under. Ooh.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not. Under... I'm certainly not sure. We always have trouble finding background and we never remember where it's at.
Maybe it's under description.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Haunted one.
He saw some shit.
I was trying to figure out what
caused shit did he
all,
see.
It made all his hair come off.
So it was pretty bad.
Whatever it was. Those who look into your eyes can see that you have faced unimaginable horror and that you are no stranger to darkness. Though they might fear you, commoners will extend you every courtesy and do the utmost to help you, unless you have shown yourself to be a danger to them, which I usually do. They will even take up arms to fight alongside you should you find yourself facing an enemy alone, which I think is a really cool. This is like a spin on the folk hero.
It is. It's instead of being inspired by you, they feel sorry for you.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, this guy.
This person needs help.
Yeah. And so I kind of wanted to tie everything into, there was a background called the Inheritor that I almost took, which would explain where I got the rod.
Sure.
So basically Sensei died and gave me the rod or
what
whatever.
What the fuck was Sensei doing with this rod?
Sensei is evil, dude. He's a bigger, fatter rabbit. He's Big Chungus.
He's
Bugs Bunny, but fat.
Bugs Bunny is definitely a warlock.
I heard that.
For sure.
He's a trickster god.
Yeah. Well,
he's Loki.
Too. He's definitely Loki.
He's a Loki.
He's a warlock patron, not a warlock.
Yeah. He's a Loki variant, and he will have followers.
All right. Anything else about Faraway?
Far away. I was like, his name is not Far Away, although I wanted it to sort of sound like that, so I got really confused right now.
Sorry, Farawan.
Farawan, that heron gone, whose hair is gone. I don't know. What's a cool thing? What do you think he saw? I also almost picked Fae Lost. Was that the background?
That is a background.
Yeah, so you wandered through, you got stolen by Fae creatures and had to wander through the Fae for a while, and then you came out. And
I mean,
you're disturbed by it.
You're tying the aberrantness to the Fae at that point, which I can
Well, that's
see
why I didn't really one. Pick it because, yeah. like, because you're, of that.
You didn't think it fits.
But
okay.
I like the idea of him getting, separated from family. Mm-hmm. And I know that's how Flareon went. something happened and he wandered off. Maybe he became an adult.
If Farawan had a sensei who gave him this rod or left him this rod, he probably saw something really horrible happen to his sensei.
Yeah, it's got to be that. And then
And the Ra's all that's left.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's like, someone has to come with me, but only one of us can leave. It'll be you. Mm-hmm. And then whatever it was ate my
definitely sensei. Ate Big Chungus.
And then, yeah, Big Chungus was for foodsies. He's like, I have to save the world
by feeding myself
my body
to this eldritch abomination.
Earmuffs, my child. And then, like, close your eyes.
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay.
And I couldn't do either one because my ears are so big and my eyes are so large.
Sure.
And I have really big eyes for a small creature.
Mm-hmm.
And then Big Chungus got eaten up, and then the rod fell down. It didn't also get eaten. And I was like, guess I'm taking this.
You picked up your sensei's lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And then it was like a nasty tentacle lightsaber. And then...
You had to dance with what brought you.
Whatever aberration I saw was like, are you going to like call an Uber? Or like, I only need one. You get to go.
Maybe it was Jubilex. This sounds like Jubilex.
Oh, I saw Big Chungus get oozed up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's like, you're going to call an Uber? Oh, my God. Are you going to eat that? And I'm like, I'm going to go.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Let's take a long rest.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest. This is the part of the show where we know what's going on.
Do we?
And I know that we know what's going on because you know what's going on and you told me you know what's going on. You made a document.
I did. We have a document now for long rest.
There's a...
I brought order to the chaos.
Oh, did we do shout outs for Patreon?
Dun, dun, dun. The chaos reigns.
Womp, womp. shit.
Hold on, everyone.
The last mile. I know that one. Okay.
Patron shout outs.
We're going to do patron shout outs now.
All
right. Right? Updated like a couple days ago. So we're good. Thank you, Mantros.
Thank you, Mantros.
Thank you, Mantros. Thank you. Legio X.
Thank you, Legio X.
Do you think it's Legio?
No, it's definitely Legio.
Legio. Yeah. Legio X. Doing a cross with my arms. Kelsey Malone.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Kelsey Malone's back. Hunter Bears.
Thank you, Hunter.
Thanks, Hunter Bears. I like Hunter Bears.
Okay.
Shane Calder.
Thank you, Shane.
Upgrade.
Let me upgrade you.
It's a Beyonce song. Emery Wilson.
Thank you, Emery.
Oh, I skipped. Thank you, Emery. I skipped Justin Beckwith.
Thank you, Justin.
Justin Beckwith. Bah, 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 bah. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, here I go. The sixth sick sheiks, sixth sheeps sick.
I'm not saying that. Thank you,
one,
though.
One, two, three, four, five, S. The trip, I said S instead of what the fuck am I saying? One, two, three, four, five, six S's. So the S to the sixth.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's your other name. I won't remember. The sixth sick sheiks. Sixth sheeps sick. I did it good twice. Thanks for the upgrade, my homie.
We appreciate it.
Anthony Cardinale.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony Cardinale.
That's super thank you, Anthony.
Very generous.
I don't know, Anthony, if you caught the spaceship that I named after you.
In Super Quest Saga.
In Super Quest Saga. But it exists. It was in one of the, I want to say interludes. The one with signal.
Yeah. Oh, no way. Yeah, I had so much fun recording that.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Anthony. Oh, the Cardinale.
The Cardinale.
Yeah. Oh, Anthony, you made it. You're so immortal right now.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony. Dude, I'm just going to check the email, but like, speaking of Patreon, thanks. It's the number one way to support us.
It is.
We got a bunch of surveys done. We contracted the government to help with their survey squads, and they were like, dude, it's Patreon. It's the number one way to support you. I was like, really? You think so?
Thanks for letting us know.
Aside from like listening. So,
absolutely.
You know, if you want to, like the next step is, and they full disclosure, it's a government survey from several governments, by the way.
Not just ours.
Yeah. Imaginary governments. Fantasy governments. This is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We got a lot going on, and we do the show. It takes the shit out of us sometimes. But
it takes a ton of time, a lot of resources.
We love to do it.
We love doing it,
and we love that you love when we do it, and we want to keep doing it, and that helps a lot. It really does because we're spending a ton of time on it. We got lots of bonus content there. If you're looking to get a little extra on top, a little more Brian and Will in your ears. We got live plays. We got early episodes without ads. You get all this shit at like $5 a monthies. And like it super makes a difference in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So
it does.
Thanks. Show notes. You can see them.
Yeah. They're there. You can read them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Low on cash.
Swear to God, Brian.
You know what else helps?
You can leaving do other
a review.
Stuff.
You can leave That's a review free. On Apple Podcasts or on free. Spotify, and it is free. And that also free. Helps us tremendously.
It helps a lot. Go review all your other podcasts on Spotify too, because it's really easy. All of this stuff is so easy. I do it all the time because I'm like, it helps me so much. I want to help the other people I listen to.
Okay, for sure. That's
so
good.
I do it.
You're doing
you
good work.
You should too. Be
You're
like me.
Work. Be like Brian.
Be like Brian.
Be like Brian.
Bend it like Brian.
I don't know what that means.
Bend it like Beckham. This is a soccer movie.
I know it's a soccer movie. I don't know what it means.
I'd be bending these audio wave files.
True that.
These
true
audio,
that.
These waveforms.
You guys can also just spread the word.
Yeah.
You just tell people about the shows, and we appreciate that as well.
Oh, we're going to zag on them. We're whiplash coming, because maybe you do have money, though, and you have a little more than you need.
What? Okay. You
want
the
a
zag.
Shirt?
Or a mug.
You want a mug?
Do you want a tote bag?
Do you want it to have my face on it? We don't have that. But you can get like our logo
for
the Dungeon Cast.
We could make that if enough people ask.
We have art of me and Will as like fantasy people that we used to use on old YouTube videos.
Those need to be redone. We're not releasing those.
They look so good. I looked at it the other day. It was a really well done piece. I was like, what artist did we reach out to for this? This is so good.
This is a long time. They're good in a bad way, but they're great.
Yeah, they're like, corny. It's a corny piece on purpose because that's who we are.
We might release them.
Can I get one on a sweater?
Yeah, you can. If I decide to put it on there.
Like, I wore a Dungeon Cast sweater for the whole thing. It's one of my favorite hoodies. My other favorite hoodie says Hadouken on it. And it's a silhouette of Ryu, and it looks like Chill Wave.
I also love my Dungeon Cast hoodie. It's fantastic.
It's a great
hoodie. It's over there. It's just not cold enough to wear right now.
No. Well,
for me.
Says you.
Yeah.
And we do have a heater on. I don't know. I just was like, I need to change. You know what happened when you got here?
Yeah, I do.
And I was like, the first thing I found was this hoodie.
Yeah.
Yep. So I really didn't change. Just a dirty shirt on under the city. Do you need to lock in your nastiness?
Oh my god!
Wear a D-cast hoodie. What do we got? Spreading the word like peanut butter. You know how you make a peanut butter and jelly.
I already said spread the word. So
peanut butter and jelly sandwich with your words.
The next thing on the list is you can also follow our Discord. We got a wonderful community over there, ran by our wonderful mods. If you
we need
want,
to get ready. Because we're announcing the Discord.
Get ready because we just announced the Discord. There's a lot of people incoming.
Get ready.
So yeah, we'll have to tell them to get ready.
Get ready.
We're also on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. Follow us there. We have content and posts going on all the time.
Yeah, we're doing like cool unboxings on TikTok.
Yeah, it's fun. Absolutely. Are we ready to call a game, Brian?
Yeah.
Let's call a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side path?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.